I guess some of us are cursed with the, and I speak of this lightly, you know, when I say cursed. Sometimes we use words, and when you use them outside of their biblical context, we sometimes speak lightly. But, you know, there are some of us that are extremely sentimental. There's a lot of us, I'd say that mankind in general doesn't like change. And there's some of us that always look to the past in a most favorable light. We can relate with some of the old timers, or so many of them dying, but they talk about how good things were in the past, and it's a lot of times because they choose to remember the good. I was reading a paper just yesterday, and there's some new research on the chemicals in the mind, and that there is a chemical that the body produces when one is having hateful, unforgiving thoughts, evil thoughts, that it actually, when they're studying this, I guess through brain scans, that it actually kills parts of the brain. It deadens certain, I guess, the senses in certain parts of the brain. But they said that pleasant thoughts and that forgiving thoughts, that they can even heal those parts in the brain and grow, like, I guess you would say, these electrical pulses can grow over these spaces in the brain that were once dead. And to put it in layman's terms, that one could actually forget the bad with new wholesome thoughts. And I guess that is the nature of man. A lot of times when we think about the past, we do remember the good, and we have a tendency to forget the bad, unless we are a segment of the population that always look to the bad. I've got some relatives that they could tell you what negative experience they had 40 years ago, and it's because that's what they choose to dwell on. But with that being said, we know that the Christians in the New Testament, that they were born unto Christ in a wicked nation, that where they lived in was, they were full and surrounded by pagans. When we see that, we see that they had joy in their life. But to us that was born in a country where there is great freedom, because we were a country with moral restraint. There's some of us, and I don't believe it's just preachers, but there's some of us that see, as it were, the winds of change that are fastly approaching on our country. It was mentioned that times are going to get hard. It was mentioned in Sunday school. And you know, it's not just going to be for the wicked. One would suggest that it's just going to be for the righteous, but we know that sin has consequences. And as we live in a culture, as we live in a country, that the righteous are not going to be, as it were, separated from some of the consequences of sin. Those that would debate that issue, all you have to do is go outside some late night in any one of the inner cities of a big city in the United States. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're a lost person, there's going to be a certain uneasiness about walking. You say, Darrell, well, you trust in the Lord. And even though that we might trust in the Lord, if you see people around you dying because of the perils of sin, I'm afraid that you'll, even though that the Lord might watch over and protect you, you can see that there is a heaviness in your heart, that our country has come to that. And some of the events that has taken place has weighed heavy on our mind to the point that just the smallest of things might bother us. Just yesterday, we was working on a trailer and we didn't have some tools. And this is what I'm talking about. And you might find this to be life. But I had my my littlest one. He was running around the trailer, and I began to smell an awful odor. And I looked to Jubal and I said, "Jubal, you've messed your pants, haven't you?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, you need to get in the house." And he went in the house, and I thought he'd messed his pants, but he'd messed the trailer. It had rolled down his britches, and it was all over the trailer, right there amongst my tools. And you know what? That kind of annoyed me. A Jubal knows better. And that means, in and of itself, is something very simple. But you know, and there's other things, but that was something that we could laugh about. But at the time, it was somewhat annoying because Theros had so much on his mind. But I thought to myself, Daryl, that you're not experiencing anything that Christians before you haven't experienced. Matter of fact, you're about maybe possibly to enter into some things many a greater, a stronger, a taller Christian has experienced. But I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient. But what we're going to preach on today is joy. We have read a lot of books on Christians and other people and how that they handle adverse situations. And I would encourage anyone to read The Hiding Place, in which a lady that loved the Lord grew, and she went into a prison. She went into a concentration camp. A woman that was somewhat healthier than when she left, but a woman that was a lot taller when she did leave. We as human beings, we look on the outside. I'm thankful that God looks on the inward man. I'm thankful that when Samuel went to Jesse's family and he looked at the children, he was no doubt looking for the tallest, the mightiest, because that's what the Bible says, that Saul himself, he stood head taller than all the men, and he no doubt was looking for someone that would be impressive as a new king of Israel. That the children of Israel was down and out, and what they need was an encourager, and they needed somebody that would be physically outstanding, someone that somebody could rally around. But I'm thankful that God looked on the inward man. And when he looked at David, he didn't see somebody that was perfect, somebody that was strong, somebody that could go out and accomplish these tasks at hand. But he seen a little ruddy boy that called out to God when trouble come. And that's what me and you need to do. But we're going to read now. How does Daryl find joy in dark times? The Bible said some would say that the day of the Lord is a day of night. But the Bible tells me it's going to be a dark day. But for God's children, it's going to have a silver lining. Glory to God. But when the rain don't come, the heater, he's going to say it's dry. I sure wish it would rain. What are we going to do? But God's children will say, glory to God. By the wicked, they reach in this famine. But as for me and my house, the Lord will provide. That's the joy I'm talking about. The Bible says in the 15th chapter, I need to feel the Spirit of God today. Because I've been down. There is joy. And the Bible tells me in the 15th chapter of John, in the 10th verse, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Listen, there is joy to be found in God's Word.
and in the keeping of His commandments. Sometimes when we read His Word, that's why the devil fights us so. But let him not be victorious on this account, because there is uplifted words to be found in His holy Word. We can rejoice when we read and hear the commandments of God. It can get all over us, and we can see that the present problems that we face in this life, though it might be because of the disobedience of others, there is joy in knowing just to hear His commandments and know that He gave them to me for my good. His commandments, the Bible says, are not grievous. Oh, they can be joy to our soul. But it don't stop there. If you want to read over in the 16th chapter of St. John, it says in the 23rd verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I can find joy when I read His Word. And I can find joy, for joy, for prayer is a source of joy. Those that are in trouble, you know what? We're not the only ones that experience joy in this life. We see where the wicked are rejoicing, and they're looking forward to the future. Do you know it's not? Do you not know that it's in the heart? I heard a man explain once that there is a God-shaped spot in every man's heart. Whether you're born again or whether you're lost and condemned and know not God, there is a hunger, and man places all manners of things. But listen, those that place Jesus in their heart, He fits it so perfect. But when you try to place sin or anything else, if they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and you can be it and you can be, but it's only going to bring you pain. But yet we see it. We see it today. I heard this week that somebody made the observation over there in England. They've got a royal family that has no power whatsoever. But yet they still remain what is called the royal family. And someone had mentioned when Diana died, is that her name? Prince Diana? Guess it is. When she died, that she was a secular saint. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? A secular saint. I don't know what that means other than to say that in our secular society where nobody looks to God, this is somebody that somebody idolized, somebody that they looked up to. And it's really a sad state of affairs when the Lord has given us so many great ones that we can pattern our life after. But you know, it speaks of the nature of man. You know, there are those communitarians, that's a new term I've been hearing, those that think we could come together as oneness, and there is no unity outside of Jesus Christ. You can try it, and sin will tear you apart. We even see it in today's churches where they have left God, and sin has crept in the doors, and it'll tear them apart. They'll turn their head and they'll say, we'll accept this sin and that sin. What they can't live with is the consequences of sin, and it'll tear that community apart. When one will run off with another man's wife, or vice versa, there are those with the inability to forgive. Why? Because that is the way grace it is. It's not content just to make you miserable, but it wants to destroy your life. Where you once had joy, you'll find that you have misery. Oh, the Bible tells me that there is a joy in sin. There's pleasure in sin before a season. You can look, if you would, but we can turn there. There's two verses I want to read. The first one's in Proverbs. Proverbs was wrote by one of the wisest men that's ever walked the face of the earth. And he says in the 14th chapter, at the 12th verse, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that myrrh is heaviness." That even when the world and all of its joy, there is still yet sadness. There is another wise man. We find him in Job. Do you know a lot of people? Miserable comforters are ye, is what Job said of the men that come to comfort them. But you know, they said of many a wise thing, they just had it all wrong, didn't they? They misunderstood who Job was. They knew him. They counted him as their friend, but they knew him not. But yet they used many words of wise counsel, but they were all wrong. But yet words that if we would apply to our life, it would do us well. And in the 20th chapter of Job and the 4th verse, it says, "Knowest thou not this of old?" In other words, this is something that you can go way back. And this is a principle that is taught to us. You know, there are principles that are taught to us in this life outside of the Bible. The Bible clearly tells us His commandments. But yet we don't have to just have His Word. We can look at the application of the wickedness that people are living. And we don't even have to have God's Word to know that it'll bring you heartache. All you got to do is look at men's lives. But here it says, "Know thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment." We've been down a little bit. We see in our society that there are those that are happy, cheering on. They're just so glad to do away with anything that's in God's Word. You know, I was talking to some people this week, and I couldn't understand how certain politicians thought it was necessary to state in their address to the United States that we was going to begin to speak about the oppressed in this world. And then they threw in at the very end those that they were for same-sex marriage and that they could marry. And I told the guys at work, I said, why? Why are they so bent on that when they're such a small segment of the population? I said it would be just as foolish as to stand up and to say that as a politician, if I'm elected, I won't allow loggers to bury their chainsaws. I said they're such a small segment of the population. There ain't very many loggers in the United States. Oh, why would you hold the game from that? But listen, I'll tell you what it is. There is a wickedness sweeping this land. And there are those that think that they can destroy good and rise up evil and wickedness and call it good. And so it'll be. But my Bible teaches me otherwise. There is joy in sin, but it's for a season. There are those that are rejoicing. And the Bible says here, but it'll be a moment. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. We just listening to it, and when in the same verse, in the same speech, within the same few minutes, there was those that said, "We're going to call sodomites a normal And then at the very end, they said, God bless America. Listen, that was not a prayer. That was a commandment. But God ain't going to listen to them. No more is He going to listen to us. If we want the blessings of God, we need to get under the wing of God Almighty. Outside of it, there is wickedness. Though there might be joy for a season, that season might last my lifetime and yours. But I like what the Bible says, because we need to get our eyes off the present, that we need to look to the future. We're going to go to the 16th chapter of St. John again, and we're going to read at starting with the 18th verse. And they said, therefore, what is this that He saith a little while? We cannot tell what He saith. And now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall not weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know therefore, now listen, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Glory to God. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. There's coming a day when I'm not at death, him or nothing. I'll be in His presence. We could turn there, if you would, in the Psalms. That's what old David said. We'll get there directly. It says in the 16th Psalm, in the 11th verse, that will show me the paths of life. The path of life in my presence is fullness of joy. Listen, the world, they have joy, but it's fleeting. Oh, they mind the joy. Listen to me now. My life, the Bible teaches me, is as a vapor. So if the wicked will rejoice all of my days, I've got promise of a joy everlasting that is to come. But I don't have to wait, glory to God, until that day. I was out in the woods. Oh, He's looking for a bull. I'm trying to pull the bull off. And I had Riley there. My illness. And he ain't born. Again yet. But I'm looking for the day that I'll be able to put my arms around him. That I'll kiss his forehead. There's coming a day that my joy, that I can rejoice in that. But he was sitting there behind me, and he said, as we was riding around, my concerns were in the present, looking for this bull. And he said, Papa, can't we pray in the woods? And that's the devil. This is how the devil sometimes, listen to me, folks. I have such a hatred for the devil, it ain't right. Oh, so many times I get thoughts of doing something to the devil that just ain't good. But we was out there in the four-wheeler overheating. I looked down, and I already ruined one of my father's four-wheeler in a rock once, and all the oil drained out the bottom of it. And we ruined the engine. We was out there, and I hadn't hit nothing. But I looked down, and on the register, there it was, splashing. I turned it off real quick. And I thought, oh, well, I hope you hadn't poked a stick through the radiator or something. I got down on my hands and knees, and I looked up underneath there, and the water was just boiling out of it. I had in my mind earlier than that, we was going to go down here. We was going to check to see if the boy was there. We was going to come back over on the one hill. We was going to pray there. But there it was, and it was overheating. And I told Riley, I said, well, we better let it cool off. We'll walk to the house. And it's still in my mind. I had a thought that we would pray. And there I looked all over that field earlier that day. And as we walked down and was cutting across through the woods, there was that bull. So once again, her mind got off of that. And I said, Riley, you stand right here along the fence so that I'm going to try to circle around him and open the gate. And we can just run him into the next field. So that's what I opened the gate, and the bull was there. And it began to turn, and it probably hadn't been with me. It had run up the fence. Now listen, this is a big bull. He's probably 1,800 pound or bigger. And he didn't get very close to Riley. But you know what? He didn't have to. He just seen Riley. And I said, Riley, make a ruckus. Make a noise. And Riley did, and he turned, and he went through that gate. And there we went on through it. And we got out of the woods. And we was from where we was at, we was over halfway home. And I said, Riley, we forgot to pray. And we got back in the woods and we prayed. And I want to tell you, there's joy to be found. Sometimes when you get on your knees and you pray, you feel like you're all alone. But I tell you, that's no time to quit. It's been some time. When we go down to the bar, that's the way sometimes when you're depressed, you just can't pray. There seems to be like you're in an armed maid. But listen, you search your soul and you say, oh God, show me what it is. And you search and you search. He wants us to find joy. He wants us to search at the woman that lost the money that was given unto her. They were a promissory note. He wants us to search like a man that found riches in a field. And sold all that he had. We begin to pray. And I'm glad that there can be joy to be had when we pray to God. That my joy, though we might be sad in the moment, I have a promise of a life to come where I won't have to ask God for nothing. The Bible goes on to say that we have a good Father, and that if we ask, He shall surely give it to us. What and how much greater when we're in His presence physically now. Yes, where there's not a Lord. I began to tell Riley, we was there and it was getting dark. And I told him, Riley, I want you to understand one thing. You're never alone. God's always there. All you got to do is cry out to Him. And He'll hear your voice. Listen to me. You can have everlasting joy. Oh, we see so many people running to and fro, doing this, doing fun things is what they call it. And they run from here, and they run from there. But they have not joy. I want to tell you, there is joy to be found. It was mentioned in Sunday school that hard times are coming, and it's going to be hard for us. It's going to be hard for everybody. But what's going to set us apart is that we're going to have joy. Yes, there has been moments in history, and no doubt moments we hear about them. We hear about them over yonder, over in Indonesia and elsewhere. Where there's a mob. We read about it last night. So that a mob come into this community and they burnt some houses and they burnt the church and they fled from there. They went to another place and here come a mob. And they were angry because a man's wife, he was a Christian, and Islam, Muslim, that's what, she's a Muslim, and anyhow, She was sick, and her father, which was a Muslim, now listen to me, this is how the world is watching us. He told her in her sickness that she needed to go and have Christians to pray for. Well, look, he's seen that, his religion, and all that he's doing, and praying 3 days, I wouldn't get it done. But he wanted her to go there and find her physical healing. Well, listen, she went there and she found more. She got saved and come back home, and they beat her. But I want to tell you something, church. She had joy. Woo! She had joy. She had to leave. And they come another mob. They come into that community, and they had their sticks and their staffs. She was living, I guess, with their in-laws. Husband come out there and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Christians. And he said, I am the man. Listen to me now. He had joy in his heart. Oh, why? Because he did not count himself above the master. He did not count himself above our Lord. Listen to me now. The world, that people won't be able to afford it. When food gets so scarce and famines come, the difference between us and the world ought to be we've got joy. We know what's ahead of us. And I preach this morning to myself. I'm the cheapest of sinners. I let the smallest things get me down. But one day we need not to forget. As we've got joy. Sometimes we read about those things. There was a man at work that picked on another fella. Why he did it, and this is in my mind, but why I did it was because this man, and he's a boss. His brother come in drunk one day, was threatening to beat up certain people and whatnot. He come in late and then he was drunk. And another man said something about it. Got the man fired over it. I guess because he just didn't stay quiet. Well, this man had said something. His son began to work there. And this has been like several years now. I met that boss, whose brother had got fired, I suppose has not forgot. But that man got his brother fired. And he singled out his son. And now I want to tell you, his son wasn't perfect. His son was kind of like I was when I was a teenager. You know, what they call horseplay. We've all been guilty of it. But anyhow, they fired this boy for really doing something that was a lot less severe than I've done. And they listed the things. He threw a sanding disc at somebody, kind of like a frisbee. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And that one man come around there and he seen it. The boss come around there. And they went to this kid's boss and threw a big old ruckus up and they fired him. And they wrote on there that there were several things that he'd done. And one of them was that he had broke the handle to his hammer. And why he broke the handle to his hammer is somebody had welded it to the table. He had ground on it a little while and was trying to pull it up, and I guess he got angry and he gave it a jerk and he broke the handle. Now listen to me. Not that you should. It's not the best thing to do, but I've horsed around, I guess is what you'd want to call it. I ain't never done that. But I thought about that, and that just kind of angered me, because it had nothing to do with the handle being broken, a hammer. It had nothing to do with somebody throwing a sanding disc at somebody. There was other issues. And this kid that got fired, I might have, since he'd been there, I might have said probably, maybe 50 sentences to him. Always said hello to him. You know, it boiled up inside of me, because ever since I was a kid, I hated the boy.
And that didn't really bother me at the point at that time. I just thought, well, there's more to it than that. But when that kid come to pick his toolbox up, I have to go through it. His boss comes down there to go through it because that's his job. Well, this other boss from another department, he never walks down there at our break time when this kid is loading his box. He come down there like a rooster, like a little baby rooster strutting, wanting to communicate it in my mind, wanting to communicate it to this kid, I've got you fired. You know that got all over me because I can't stand a bully. And so many times I see people do stuff like that. And it takes me back to my childhood, being on the playground. I can see it now, my ears burning. See, I've got issues, don't I? Being so afraid inside. Being so scared. And that just making me all the more angry. You know what? My Jesus he doesn't like people bullying either. But he died for the bullies. No doubt there's some here today that were bullies on the playground when they were a kid. I said all of that to say this, that Jesus died for us all. And that he loves us each and every one. And we should seize the moments that are presented to us in this life to call out to God and say, Lord, I surrender all to you. Lord, God, forgive me for not loving those that you died for. Sometimes there's really a struggle there, isn't there? Behind the victimizers are those that are professors of Christ Jesus. And no doubt Paul struggled with this when that was the greatest opposition to his ministry was those that was supposed to know God. But all we can do is be faithful. All we can do is look to the God that died for all men and realize that it is His joy that we must possess in our hearts, that all other joy, that all other hopes, desires, and dreams are fleeting at best. They last but a short season. But what God has promised us will last throughout eternity. And you know what? There gives me some peace in knowing that. When I think about those that are trying to destroy marriage, and though sometimes it angers me to see a nation that was founded on God's principles turning its back on it, I can rejoice in knowing that these that are the perpetrators of all of this are doing it in a quest to find joy. But there'll be no joy to be had. You know, one could look at a person's life and say all that they will about it, about why they do this and why they do that. But God knows their heart. And we all know that without the Lord, the Bible tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. And we need not to expect any better out of them. That's why we must present Christ to them. And there's a lot of people that think the answer to our problems should be left up to man. So that's what communism is. Communism is man's attempt to solve all of their problems with a few
select men within a particular party. But there's no joy to be had in that, just as there isn't any to be found in any other political party, because man does not have the answers. God does. And I'm thankful that it is in hard times that people see the difference between us that are Christians and those who have no hope. Let us make sure that we get our eyes on the joy that's everlasting, and not on these things that matter, but for the present. I was thinking about our children and what they might be faced with as they get older. And I don't begin, I could only speculate, but I am sure that my grandfather at my age would have speculated what our nation would be doing. He would not have any idea whatsoever that some of the things that are going on in our United States of America are taking place. And not taking place at some dark corner by those that are considered to be wicked by the community, but taking place by those that are considered to be holy. Those that are considered to be the most educated. Those that are considered to be the most well off. So it is with the depravity of man. Satan is not... You know, I've heard some say that Satan would be content if you just stop praying. And he would only be content in that because he has the knowledge that when you stop praying, you start straying. He's not content. You know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says he'd rather us to be hot or cold, for if we're lukewarm, let's spew us out of our mouth. But Satan is not content but with a lukewarm Christian. Although, when he stands before God, he can shake his fist and say, look at all of these that chose not to go with you. But what Satan truly wants is for mankind to worship and adore him. And we see so many people that are content in their mind to be, as it were, good moral sinners. But they don't stop there, do they? Why? Because they seek after joy. And we see a culture today that is calling the most wicked and the most vilest things fun. Well, we see it, a media that wants to portray all of these things that have such grievous consequences. They call them safe. They call them fun. They tell you you'll be happy if you do it. They always present the most beautiful and attractive people partaking in these things. And why is that? Because it is in the heart of all men to find joy. But those that look not in the ways of God will find emptiness, a craving, a hunger. And so they go and they pursue it. And there are lines that man once would not cross, that society has deemed it appropriate and acceptable to cross. And so they go even there. But regardless of where they might go and where their journey might take them, it all leads them to the same place. And that's an empty shell questioning, what is the point of life? And those that have joy everlasting, joy in their heart, joy that is not based upon their circumstances, have the answers. And His name is Jesus. Let's get some song to sing. Do you have joy? Your song says, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Have you put your trust in Him? It was quoted in Sunday school. It's in our weakness that we are made strong through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that some of us can gain this knowledge. With a sprained wrist, and others it takes a wheelchair. And I'm thankful that God in His persistence can show us through our weaknesses that we are made strong, and that He has joy unspeakable awaiting His children. And what did we say? We said we don't have to wait till this life to come, but that we can find joy in reading His Word, obeying His commandments, and praying to God Almighty. And count our blessings one by one. You know, if we're not careful, so many of the blessings of God can bring us hardships. You know, just like the man does, or the woman for that matter, that is so sad because they're all alone and they're not married. And they say to themselves, Lord, would You provide me with a spouse? I would be just so happy if I would have a spouse. And the Lord provides them with a spouse. Is that so that they might be joyful? And then for whatever reason, they cannot bear children. And the joy that they once had is fleeting and gone. And they pray to the Lord, Lord, just give us a child. Lord, if You gave us a child, we would be so happy and so grateful. Listen to me. He wants our joy to be based in Him. I'm thankful that I've been able to experience joy outside of the things of God, but not outside of His blessings. Is that not true? The joy that I have experienced has not all been spiritual, but it has all been because of God and His blessings and His providence, His provision, and His keeping. And Darren must realize that the joy that comes from God is what Darrell has at the moment. And that it is all that I need in order that I might lift up praise unto Him. If you look, you're never lacking. Wherever you might find yourself, you're never lacking. There's not a one of us that can pray and say, Lord, if You would give me this, I could offer You praise. Lord, if You would give me this, I could pray. Lord, if You would give me this, I could find joy. But our joy is to be found in the Lord. And in no other.